What up, guys? Here to talk about Anchor. This is how you're listening to this podcast right now. It's the easiest way to make your own podcast. They give you all the tools right there so you can do it real quick, get your podcast made. You can do it off your phone. They even have background music and interstitial music to make it super easy to record and edit your podcast. They also distribute it. They put it on Apple, Spotify, all the good places you want. And it's easy to make money from it as well. It's pretty cool. So if you want to check it out, start podcasting for yourself, get the Anchor app, or just go to anchor.fm and get started. All right, guys, back to the show. Hey guys, voting isn't just going to the polls on election day anymore. Options like early voting and mail-in voting and ballot drop boxes are available to more voters now and are growing in popularity. Basically, I want to talk to you guys about Democracy Works, democracy.works. They created a tool called How to Vote, and this breaks down all the options considering your specific state for casting a ballot and empowering you to decide when and where to vote. Now, you guys, it's a weird time. Democracy works best when we're all voting, but misinformation and confusion about election procedures has resulted in a super low voter turnout. So How to Vote is a tool created by Democracy Works that takes all the guesswork out of the voting process. This will help you. You can set up reminders of when the elections are. You can see what's on your ballot before you get there. You can get step-by-step assistance requesting your mail ballot. You can also check your voter registration status and find out where to vote, where your polling place is. And to make sure that you have the appropriate ID to vote when you get there. You guys got to decide when and where you're going to vote this year because it's more important than ever. Democracy.works. Get on it, guys. Vote. Hey guys, just jumping in real quick to say that we recorded this episode at the end of June, and I did release it before the new Unsolved Mysteries came out, but I was just kind of re-releasing it so our feed has some semblance of order. So if you want to catch those Unsolved Mysteries, the Netflix reboot, just check out between seasons 4 and 5, and here's the season 5 premiere. So enjoy. What's up, guys? Stack Pack back for another week. First episode of season 5 of the Robert Stack hosted series. I'm David, joined by Dan and Eli. Classic crew coming at you. What's up, Dan?
Not much. You know, just hanging out, enjoying the home life.
Sort of. And what's up, Eli? How's it going?
I had a hard day today, actually. I just turned up my levels, by the way. Just
cool.
I had a really tough day. I'm really enjoying just hanging out with my buds.
Some bully at work took his lunch money today.
Breaking through season premiere.
Yeah. You did see a bully today, though. Fuck, I want to talk about that.
That wasn't today.
Oh, that wasn't? Okay. When was that, yesterday?
No, it was yesterday.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Some fucking... Eli needed something for
troglodyte.
Eli needed something for his Wii for his Switch, and someone
Wii. What year is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Apparently, it's an older year because this man really hated homosexuals.
I know, right? Maybe it is a Wii.
You would.
Eli went to GameStop to get a cable for his GameCube.
Yeah, his Sega Dreamcast. They said no.
For my Sega CD?
They just pointed to the door.
For your Sega Saturn?
For the Sega Dreamcast.
Or what was it before Saturn? What was it before Saturn?
Genesis.
There was a crossover Sega. that had yeah, discs before it was
Sega
Saturn.
CD.
Was it Sega CD?
No way.
Yeah, and then it became Dreamcast.
No, Saturn.
Sega's...
No, I don't think Saturn had discs.
Saturn had discs because Area 51 was on disc.
What? Okay.
But no, Sega CD... Okay, I remember this because Sega CD had that game that it was about. I remember it was kind of like risque.
You know, it had that game, that one game that people play.
No, it had that game where you like watched it. It was like almost like voyeur.
And it was like controversial.
What was it?
Voyeur.
Voyeur.
Okay. Anyway, so you're getting something for your Switch, and what happened? You have to tell the story because we were talking.
So I walked in. I walked into the GameStop just to return my Switch. Long story short, my Switch doesn't turn on. I had to call Nintendo, and I got to send it in anyway. But yeah, I tried plugging in a cable, and it didn't work. So I had returned it because I'm like, I'm not going to keep a $20 cable if I don't need it. Mine works perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So I went in. That's not the issue. The guy in front of me asked a question about he wanted to buy Animal Jam, and then I asked
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing, sorry, Animal Jam is another game that my kids play on the old computer. But anyways, he wanted to buy Animal Crossing, and I asked the clerk, I was like, hey, by the way, why do people buy the game? Like, why do they want the physical game? Because I heard, like, it's sold out sometimes. Like, why don't they just download it? And the guy was like, he was like, really
people just like their physical copies. Yeah, I get it.
He's like, yeah, they just want the copy. Like, you know, they want to be able to have it or
yeah.
You know, for, and then the guy behind me chimed in and he goes, or maybe you hate the fucking game because it pushes an LGBTQ agenda, whether you believe in it or not. And I was like, oh,
this is about Animal Crossing.
No, this is not about Animal Crossing. Yeah. I was like, Animal Crossing is a great game. What are you talking about?
It's like, I don't think anyone's having sex with anybody in Animal Crossing. So then, of course, he was talking about fucking Last of Us 2 because he's one of these fucking incel pieces of shit.
I didn't know corn could be in a same-sex relation.
I should have taken a picture of him.
You should have. It's like, yeah. So I don't know if anybody knows this. There's a great game called Last of Us 2, and the critics have been giving it rave reviews because it's a great game. I fucking started it. It's beautiful. And the audience scores have been bombed online by all these fucking loser incel pieces of shit who are saying that it like is like promoting LGBT values and they don't approve and the whole game is bad because Ellie likes to kiss girls. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. I can't believe you saw one of these like people in real life.
Is it like,
the gamer community can be the sweetest and the most fucking disgusting humans because a lot of them just fucking sit there and don't actually have any contact with humans. And they just sit there and play video games and they can be fucking volatile. So a lot of people don't like this game just because,
but is it like vulgar and graphic? Like, are they like,
dude, it's adorably sweet. Like,
so there's no like,
yeah,
there's no like conolingus.
No, or, like, she's like a teenager and she's like, yeah, she's the game starts where like the guy comes up to her door. And they're going to go on a run, but they were drinking the night before. And she's like, oh, I heard you kiss Dina. Or Dina is like, man, you didn't even like, and he gives her shit for like not waiting after, like, you know, he gives her shit because they had just broken up and he's joking around with her. And it's just like, you know,
it's one of these stories where,
and they're beautiful stories. They do it in TV a lot. Like Schitt's Creek is a perfect example where it's just accepting and we move the fuck on. Like if there's a gay character, it's not necessarily because they're going through turmoil for being gay. You know, right. It's just like, okay, we accept that because it's now. All right. Sex Education on Netflix is another great example of that. But I think Schitt's Creek is probably the best because it's like a small town. And everyone's just accepting of David and Patrick and yeah. So this fucking troglodyte.
Yeah, it's not controversial.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was mad.
Yeah. Well, the thing that's not controversial.
Really caught me off guard. I didn't know really what to tell him.
Just spewing hate, like, at a game.
I was like, good luck with that, man.
It's like, a fucking zombie game. Like,
and you could tell the guy behind the counter was like, oh.
One of these pieces of shit again. I thought douchey dude bros were supposed to be like, oh, lesbian, sweet.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I thought dude bros thought lesbians were the hottest thing ever.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
As Dan and I,
when the dicks touch.
Dan and I are part of the LGBTQ community, and I support Ellie and whatever you want to do. You're a fictional fucking character. I think people have better shit to worry about, and the game is fantastic. I I'm actually not having whiskey tonight, so I can stay up and play.
I've seen the trailer. It looks really good. Like, it looks like a movie.
Yeah. You know what's really – because I'm not playing it even on the best PlayStation. I have, like, a regular PlayStation 4. And the faces, like, the expressions in their faces is so full of life, you know. And
the 5 is already out?
No, but there's, like, a PSP Pro, which, like – plays no there's a PSP PS4 Pro which plays the games in 4K, and it's like a little bit better quality, but
see,
it's great.
I don't, the only thing we have is a Switch. I like don't, it's not that I don't want to, it's
damn just, dude, just, all I have is a Nintendo or not sorry is a Game Boy original.
Yeah, right, we have an Xbox in every room. We have like a 12, we have a 12 year old's like dream house. There's so many icky horror movies with boobs in them, and there's like an Xbox in every room. And this room that we do the podcast in, is there's like Batman and James Bond and Pennywise and shit all over the walls.
And anime cartoons with big tits.
Okay, that's where I draw the line. Nothing against anime. I just never got into
just
it.
Just has things against big tits.
Yeah, I feel like those girls' backs are in much pain, and for their health, they need to really, you know, consider a breast reduction.
They need a hysterectomy? Is that right? Hysterectomy?
No. It's just called a breast reduction.
That's not right.
Well, it's because there is like some type of surgical term.
Yeah, for I forget
breast
that. Yeah.
Reduction.
I think the term you're thinking of is when they remove a breast for like breast cancer.
Mastectomy.
Yeah.
It's a mastectomy.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, guy.
So many sectomies.
Yeah. Hey, you have a wife. Dan and I, we have an excuse. We don't know anything about girls.
I also have daughters.
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, but you have mothers.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm just joking. So, so happy Pride Month. And I hope that incel who is bitching about lesbians in a zombie game burns in the sweet depths of hell. Happy Pride. It's like, if you're complaining about that shit, man, it's a fucking video game. So, I mean,
it is a video game.
The same group of people were the ones bitching about how there's a lead Jedi, how there's a female lead in the new Star Wars movies, and there's a black stormtrooper. Fuck all those fucking losers.
People were also upset before when there weren't enough black people represented in Star Wars.
Yeah, well, I think that was a different set.
That was a different fan base.
I mean, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying.
The new Star Wars are great. There's way more women and way more people of lots of races, not just like one Lando.
People just want to bitch about everything now. It's. They just want to be insufferable.
In this time, when there's all this shit, pride, equality is being taken away from trans people, and there's African-Americans rioting in the street, and, there's a lesbian in my zombie game. Fuck you.
Get it out.
I'm taking it back. I'm going to show them. Hey, Naughty Dog Entertainment. Hey, Sony, take that. Bitch, they already got your money. GameStop's just going to sell it again. And the game is beautiful. Anyway.
And you're only getting store credit anyway. So.
Yeah, you fucking you bitch. Go write a blog post about it. All right, so this is fun. We have a really good episode. All right, so we got the season 5 premiere of the original Stack-hosted series, Super Mysterious Missing Person, UFO, and a weird-ass
action
death.
Movie.
Yeah.
An action hero movie.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and what would happen if Arnold Schwarzenegger was like a real dude? The first time he jumped on a plane, he'd just fall to his death. Anyway, or maybe Tom Cruise would be a better example, but whatever, it's fine.
Dude, right before this segment started playing, I was doing the, what is it, the Indiana Jones theme song, and David's like, what does this have to do with it? And then we saw the segment, he's like,
He jumps on.
Yeah, his little Indiana Jones jacket. Anyways, we'll talk about it.
All right, but the first case is this really, really weird missing persons that I think a lot of people probably already know about. We're going to be talking about Tammy Lynn Leppert. Tammy Lynn
Leppert.
So by the time she was 16 years old, this girl had won 280 beauty contests.
I thought that had to be wrong, right? That's so many.
That's, I mean, honestly – So the mom seems shitty. Like, I don't like those. I don't know. I can't. Oh, I can't justify.
I'm telling you.
I can't justify any mom who fucking like
objectifies their who makes their 6-year old daughter.
By the time she's 16, I mean, who knows how many she's competed in? I think he does say it, but she won that many. 280 beauty contests and counting.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that mom is from Mimi from Drew Carey Show.
Oh, that mom.
She looks exactly like Mimi. Yeah.
She seems like a sweet person, but she also seems like a straight up fucking pageant mom.
Yeah,
which means it could go either way.
and a line that was for sure written for Robert Stack to say that he probably didn't agree with. He says that this kid was uncommonly beautiful.
Uncommonly beautiful.
So this uncommonly beautiful child, I don't know, most kids are pretty cute. Like, to say that child is uncommonly beautiful, it's just fucking weird. You know, it's like, I think it's more uncommon to see like a real ugly kid. don't you think? Most kids are pretty cute, you know?
I don't know.
I don't think I would ever, you know, I would never describe a child as beautiful. I mean, maybe a baby. Okay. I don't know. I would never describe a child that was not mine as beautiful. So her parents divorce when she's 7. The mom's a theatrical/model agent. A lot of the story is told through the eyes of a man named Wing Flanagan, who was 11 years old at the time. And he was a client of the mom. So of course he lived with them.
Yeah. Your mom's never sent you off to live with your agent or your manager.
Which is normal, right?
I mean, that's what my mom did.
It's weird. Yeah.
I lived with my manager for 6 months. No, it's so you can concentrate on your craft.
So she's a super pretty model, beauty pageant, whatever. She gets a small part in the movie, in the 80s teen sex comedy Spring Break, which Stat calls an exploitation film. Like, I mean, it's like a teen sex comedy. I mean, I don't know. maybe exploitative because there's boobies and sex in it. I don't know. I've never seen it, but I've always wanted to. I think Mark Herron is in it. No, the guy from like CSI. I don't know. Anyway. So she was in this movie, on YouTube. There's like a clip of her like dancing on a table and she was like 17. Like, I don't know. It's weird. According to her mom and Wing, after she comes back from filming Spring Break, she's quote, a different person.
First of all, what kind of name is Wing?
I don't know.
Wing. It's not after filming is after they film the movie, she goes to a party unchaperoned. And after the party is when she comes
comes back home, she's fucking weird. Yeah. And that, yeah, she goes to a party with this actor, one of the actors in the movie. So after going home, she's a different person, and she becomes very paranoid. She starts getting calls and tells Wing to tell the person on the phone that she's not there. Her mom can tell that she's very agitated, and she tells her mom that she, like, saw something. That she just saw something she shouldn't have seen and that somebody was trying to kill her. But she would never tell her mom any more than that. Like, how fucking terrifying. Your daughter tells you, for sure someone's trying to kill me. But they didn't – it's clear towards the end of the story that they didn't take any of her – like, anything she was saying seriously. Like, they just immediately thought she was nuts, which is like –
they just went to crazy.
Yeah, it's like she's literally, like, an insanely beautiful blonde model. Like, I mean, maybe some – I don't know.
Maybe just Linda didn't take her serious because Linda was not
the nicest looking
girl. So she has no idea what it's like to have that kind of attention or be even scared of any man.
Right. So the paranoia is ramping up and Wing tells a story about how they were looking out a window one day and she was like, notice anything different? And Wing Flanagan said that there was like the neighbors have a new van. And she's like, exactly. It's got mirrored windows. So she thought somebody was watching her.
Can I interject? So far, absolutely. Everything you're describing about her screams paranoid schizophrenic.
Yeah. And they just kept her in her house. Well, eventually they take her to the mental. We'll talk. Yeah, we'll get into it.
But also, like, I don't know anything about
Yeah.
being paranoid delusions schizophrenic. And stuff like that. Like, does it happen like that quickly? Can you just like be normal and all of a sudden?
You know, I do know they say that some mental illnesses really kick in towards the end of teen years and early 20s. So, I mean, maybe, you know, or maybe she just did some drugs or something out there that kind of
set it off.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, maybe she had some LSD and she just was like, not about it.
So after spring break, the movie, she's all this paranoia is happening. She's in virtual seclusion while freaking out. She gets a new job being an extra in Brian De Palma's Scarface, probably the movie is most known for. So she goes and she's pretty much an extra. I don't know if she ever even shows up in the film. But she has a breakdown on set during a murder scene. There's like fake blood and shooting, and she like freaks out and starts crying hysterically. She's saying things like, they're going to kill me. And so like, they're going to blow my head off. And the family friend that she was staying with while they were filming the movie said that, she was saying something about money laundering and she was terrified. She quits the film.
She was super scared.
So she quits the film and goes back to Cocoa Beach, Florida, back with her mom and Wing, who I guess his career is not really taken off. He's just hanging out with his creepy Mimi from Drew Carey looking aunt in Florida. I don't think there's a lot of work in Florida. This was definitely before Nickelodeon Studios opened up. I didn't see him as one of the early cast members on All That. And when they showed him as an adult, in the talking head, we've been watching Queer Eye and he really needs some Jonathan Van Ness. Like that beard needs some shade, hunty.
And those curls need to be tamed.
Yes. So apparently she talks to the sheriff about, her paranoia, but she never once mentions that she thought she was in any danger. Like, once she gets back from Scarface, it just continues to get worse and worse. She makes Wing, like, taste her food, convinced that, like, someone might have poisoned it.
Isn't that terrible, though? Because she's like, here, you have it. You're my sty, not me.
You wonder what's fucked up about that? Because, like, her mom makes a comment, like, oh, like, they were super close, like, brothers. Like, yeah. Damn, like, hey, bro, I love you. Now tell me if this is poisoned or not.
Yeah, what is she, the queen? What is she, like, a fucking medieval queen or something? The mom is like, this was not our Tammy. This is not the Tammy we know. Not our Tammy. Not my Tammy. That wasn't my Tammy. Around this time, her mom said that she also began to develop a wild-eyed look. Like,
oh yeah. She's like, she changed her appearance totally. Like she had this wild look in her eyes.
She got crazy face.
That's not like how you change your look completely. Like your look completely is like whole new wardrobe, dyeing your hair.
Yeah. Dye your hair.
Contacts.
Makeover montage. Tattoos.
Not just having the look of crazy in your eye.
So things all come to a head July 1st of 83. She finally has a bit of a breakdown. She's yelling at Wing for looking at her. and Wing's just like, what the fuck? And so she steps outside and there's a little bit of art direction in there. It's kind of cool. She steps outside and she sees people like walking across the street and you can tell she's overwhelmed.
Yeah. And they do that.
And then she goes,
they do that like angled camera. They do that angled camera where it looks
Dutch
like
angle.
She's like,
Oh no, it's not a Dutch angle.
That's a Dutch angle. Oh, but I guess a Dutch angle is just – anyway.
I thought the Dutch angle was for like – A Dutch angle is just when it's like – But tilted high though.
No, it's just – tilted.
Just a tilt?
Yeah.
Because they do it. They Thor. Do it like a camera tilt as if like she's like turning her head.
Think Thor 1. Terrible movie. So many Dutch angles.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You know who directed that? The actor Kenneth Branagh. I didn't know really? I feel like it should be better because he's directed some pretty good movies. Anyway.
Oh man. So I think the script was just really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Thor 3 is the best by far. Thor 2 is worse than Thor 1.
Which is why
Thor 2 is way
worse. Which is why, Chris Hemsworth wants to keep going. He said, I feel like now I've finally got my character. I finally know who Thor is.
Thor is like one of the most fun characters in the Avengers, and those movies were just like, like he was funny in them, but the movies weren't funny. He did good.
No.
Anyway, so
and then, they New Mexico desert.
Yelling at Wing for
that's where teens go to bang.
So
is that where you film a movie?
So she, so she's outside. So she's outside, overwhelmed, and then she decides to go back in, and the door's locked, and then she like freaks out. In the reenactment, it looks like she breaks the window, and then Wing immediately comes out and is like, "What the like? What are you doing? Stop it!" And then she like freaks out and like starts attacking him. Is like, "You locked me out." And Wing says that she didn't even look like she recognized him. So it's like, I feel like this is a lot of stuff. And then the mom calmed her down and she said the same thing. But I feel like this is a lot of stuff, like some paranoid delusions, schizophrenia, like we were talking about, and her, and you know, maybe her being totally right. Like she could have had this the whole, you know, she could have had this mental illness like for a long time. But it actually like mm-hmm. springs up when there's like a stressful event, like maybe watching some crime or watching some drug dealer or something that she wasn't supposed to be a part of. But I don't know. I'm no psychologist. So this is when they take her to the mental health center to get evaluated. She's got no drugs or alcohol in her system.
Hold on. Just for reference, mm-hmm. that event happened July 1st.
Yeah.
It says she spent 3 days in the hospital. And I'm assuming that was what, July maybe 2nd through the 5th?
Yeah, because the first, it says, I mean, what we know is the first day they gave her drug and alcohol, they gave her tests to see if she was on drugs. She was not. And then they decided to hold her for 3 days. After she got out, she told her mom to promise, she made her mom promise to like get revenge pretty much if something was to ever happen to her. Which is,
but that's what's confusing is because she's like, get revenge on whoever.
But did she this won't say like, shit.
Yeah. And that's so frustrating.
It's super annoying. Yeah. I mean, she was 16 or seven, maybe 17 or 18 by this time.
She was 18.
It says she died when she was 18, but Stack always, she keeps saying
she
17.
Isn't dead.
Oh, yeah. There's I guess no maybe body. We don't know. Well, that doesn't mean she's not dead. So Rick Adams was one of her close friends, and this dude says that he hung out with her right after she got out of the psych ward or the mental facility. And he said that she was like – she was very serious, and she was like, Rick, I love you. And he was like, I love you too. And she was like, I might be going away for a while. And that's pretty much all he says. And then the next day, everything's pretty normal, right? Like the mom even said like she was going out of her way to be extra normal. And so the mom is on the phone talking to somebody. When she leaves, she says, oh, goodbye, mom. In the reenactment, she says, I love you. Like very, you know.
Oh, yeah. She says like she's going to step out to go to the beach with a friend or something like that.
So she.
Yeah. No purse, no shoes.
Yeah. So she gets out. And then the mom, I guess, got off the phone really quick and saw her drive away. And she said she got the feeling that that'd be the last time she ever saw her, which was true. But I don't know. Do we? I don't always believe when people.
Yeah, hindsight.
Those.
Hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah,
it's like looking back. Oh, I knew it. I knew that was the last time.
We come across a lot of that on Unsolved Mysteries, and I'm like, I don't buy it.
I think they call that in the supernatural world
premonitions,
idiosyncrasies,
synchronicities. So
synchronicity, which is a really good Police album. Whoa, Robert Downey Jr. sang a song with the Police and he hung out with Thor. Whoa.
I knew it. Did he really sing a song with the Police? God damn it. No, we can't.
Dude, it's really, yeah.
I don't care. Don't tell me. We're talking about murder.
It's really good. It's really good.
Synchronicity,
bro. It's all connected.
So she gets picked up by this guy in a car. She has no purse. She's barefoot. They get in a fight. He drops her off apparently, and that's the last time anybody ever saw her. I do want to let's point out that we never know the boyfriend's name, which I always think is kind of weird. They never mention anything about him, and he's just like, oh, this is a mystery. Maybe we should look at this fool.
Maddox just scared the crap out of me. I saw something in the corner of my eye, and I come over here, and he's like,
sup?
They can't even see you because you're
up,
behind
Mike?
The microphone.
He looks like a microphone. What's up, dude? What's up? Mm-hmm. Cool. That's a cool shirt, man. You gonna go surf? You gonna go surf?
Yeah. What are you doing up?
He's gonna go surf.
Hey, ask how's his summer going?
He left.
What a doo doo face.
I was like, you just look like a microphone. What are you doing?
The cops go around and ask her friends if they know anything, and all the friends say the same thing, that she was having trouble at home. The mom denies this, and she says that it's all, you know, she was like, oh, she was, you know, like that was home life was least of the problems. Like she was, I guess she got a new role, or she was planning on going to California, and she would have been there for a while. And she was like, no, there was like nothing keeping her. Like, you know, she didn't buy the vibe. She didn't buy that she ran away from home because of them. But we don't know. We don't know what went on in that house. She was a crazy fucking stage mom. So, honestly, who knows?
And she was hanging out with Drew Carey.
Yeah, she was Drew Carey's... She was Craig Ferguson's fucking secretary. And she was always getting into fights with Drew Carey, so... anyway, so... So that's the last time anybody saw her, and Wing leaves us with the freaky, like, she saw something or knew something that she shouldn't have known, and that's what happened.
But could she have seen something? I mean, what if she fell victim to one of those sex cults in Hollywood? Or
yeah, well, I mean, we'll get into some of the rumors.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too.
Wing regrets not taking her paranoia seriously because she did just go missing. The mom thinks that she's either dead or doesn't remember who she is. And I don't believe she was that far gone, but who knows? No. I mean, some of the stuff they say about her not recognizing them is pretty alarming, but this is a crazy case. Eli, you did send me that Reddit, which is a, what do they call it? A Hollywood blind, where it's just like, yeah. A blind Hollywood?
I don't understand.
I think what it is people that post stories about people in Hollywood, like fucked up shit that goes on in Hollywood without actually using their real names. But also, it did kind of read like fan fiction.
Yeah.
And
it could have been anything. It could have been somebody that knew about the case that like created this fictional story.
Yeah.
Anyways, the Reddit post, if you Google her name and just Google, like look up her Reddit. There's a theory out there that says that they potentially know what happened to her. It's a whole long story. We won't even get into it, but it's just.
So, well, like, I'm kind of curious is like, what if she did see something like, you know,
that's what this story's about. It goes into detail because apparently
there's a lot of sketchy shit that happens in Hollywood. Like,
well, apparently the story.
Yeah.
Apparently the story is, this actor that she met on spring break is the person who murdered her is what they say. And the actor's name is Paul Land. He died in 2007. He didn't have a huge career, but he was like in TV movies and stuff. You know, didn't it say that the story came from his nephew, Paul Land's nephew?
I don't remember where the source of the story came from.
So basically what it says is that's the person that they met. That's the person she met on spring break. And it was Paul Land. She went out with him. She learned that he was trying to be an actor, but he was also a drug dealer. And some drug deal went bad. And apparently Paul Land like murdered somebody in front of her. And she got – it says that she was covered in blood and that she started freaking out after that. And then I guess he – because of her paranoia, he got worried about it. And the day of the killing, he followed this car that dropped, and it was just chance that she got dropped off without shoes and just needed a ride. And apparently the story goes is that he said, let's go fuck on the beach. And, she agreed and that, he somehow murdered her.
Just like drowned her and set her out to sea.
Okay. And left her in a swamp. But right.
I have some holes in that. Remember, okay, so the entire story that Wing and her mom paint is that she was paranoid, right? She was paranoid of getting killed by the same guy.
Yeah,
that she
and this story saw reads like the fan else. Fiction, just like perfectly yeah, fitting everything
and so,
in all the
okay,
ways.
And not just that, but would you willingly go with the man who happens to pull up next to you that asks you for a ride and wants to go fuck on the beach.
Yeah.
You're going to go with this
the
guy
dude who
you saw
you
murder somebody
yeah.
who you've been scared of?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
But at the same time, it could just be that perfect mixture of actual like intrigue and her getting into some shit that she shouldn't have got into and her mental illness.
Or what if, cause like it says that like they, dude that dropped her off in the parking lot said that they got into an argument because as far as he could go was, what was it, Fort Lauderdale or something like that. And he dropped her off in the parking lot.
That dude was like a boyfriend that was more her age, right?
Right, yeah. But is there a possibility that after he dropped her off, this dude was like following her, and once the parking lot was empty, just came in and forcibly abducted? There's no witnesses. There were no cameras.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
And then he could have just like lightened the story up and been like,
yeah,
and no, like she's willing. Yeah, beach.
She wanted it.
Yeah. But in reality,
he's like lightening up the story that ends with him killing her. I mean, why even bother? But it's a pretty lengthy post. But yeah, it's a Reddit. There was another Reddit about the case that I didn't have a chance to get into. But this is definitely an interesting one.
All I know is there's a couple of theories, right?
Okay. That's the big long story. But is there any other? I didn't really. That's the only thing.
There's a couple other scenarios that could have gone down, right? So,
all right, let's run through them.
She could really have had a mental illness and a mental breakdown, and nothing is wrong with her. But then what happened to her?
Yeah.
She could have really saw something, and all of a sudden, what happened to her? Like, even in any of these. So the other one I was going to say
even if she really sees something, though, some of the things they say are like obvious signs of paranoia. Like how would this guy be poisoning you in your own home that your mom bought at the store? Like, it's just, you know,
right.
Like, even common sense, but still, she's a teenager, dude. I don't know, man.
Unless he paid her mom to kill her.
Teenagers are dumb. Yeah.
I mean, she was no longer placing it. I'm just kidding.
That's my new theory. The mom did it. No, but I mean,
yeah, it could have been. It could have been the mom. It could have been the guy who took her.
Yeah.
And something could have happened to her. And
what about Wing? Wing's no prince. Just kidding.
It was Wing. It was him.
The Wing the theory. Whole time. No. He was 11.
On the porch with the baseball bat.
Yeah, Tammy Lynn Leapart. Wait, no.
And this is unsolved. This is not, there's no update. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Nobody. Yeah, like Dan said, she could have been some kind of some sex cult. She could have had some.
But she was in Florida LSD. When she went missing. Another weird thing is,
I'm saying, when she left and she came back.
Like, if we go the full psychosis route, she just like swims into the ocean, the body would still wash up, right? I mean, I don't know.
Eventually, not necessarily. It would sink, unless she was eaten by a shark.
It depends on the tide.
Oh, yeah. Didn't it say in that radio, in that thing, it said that she was dumped in a swamp and the shark and in sharks and alligators would have taken care of it.
There's a bunch of
alligators are aggressive in Florida. If you go, if you go lower to New Orleans, the water's too cold, they lazy. But in Florida, water's warm. They will fuck you up.
Yeah. It would have been more poignant if she had said, "See you later, alligator," when she said bye to her mom. I knew she's never coming back. Yeah, Florida's riddled with them, man.
Yeah.
And this was in Cocoa Beach, which, by the way, I've been to. Cocoa Beach is a lovely beach. I want to go back.
I'm sure the only nice part of Cocoa Beach is the actual beach itself. We know nothing about Tammy Lynn, which sucks. But maybe this dead actor killed. I don't know. I feel like there's not really any heat to that rumor because I feel like that somebody would have picked that up and been like, Paul List, you know.
Yeah.
Little known actor is a murderer. You know. There's a guy in The Exorcist who fucking murdered a dude after doing sex and having drugs. After having having drugs and doing sex to him all night. After having sex after and doing drugs, drugs all night.
Having sex?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in The Exorcist. He murdered a dude.
You know, Matthew Broderick killed a guy.
We got to mention it every episode.
It was crazy that the guy
actually,
from the
I think it was a mom and a daughter, so I don't actually think it was a guy, but I could be wrong.
Killed a person.
Ooh.
Or a couple.
He ruined a family. God damn it.
The the guy from The Exorcist.
That joke's not funny anymore.
The murderer from The Exorcist in one of the special features. It's interesting because
well, we watched that. We watched the cursed movies. That's what they were talking about.
And they were talking about their
cursed films. Really cool.
He was an actual X-ray tech, and like the supervisor of him was like, "Oh yeah, like he was really quiet. Great, really quiet, friendly, great at his job.
There's like a scene where they like do
brutally
something.
Murdered a dude.
There's a scene where they do like a brain scan to the little girl, and everyone doing that shit they actually do that. Like, it's a real doctor and real technicians. I thought that was kind of cool. What's up, guys? Just jumping in here to tell you about The Spook Troop, which is my other podcast where I sit down with friends and we watch scary movies, real original, but it's been pretty fun this summer. We watched all the Scream movies. We just finished Scream 3. Scream 4 is coming out next week. All those movies are streaming on various platforms, and they're a really fun look at the 90s and that whole meta culture. And we're going to have some fun movies coming up in the later months. So check out The Spook Troop on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you can get podcasts. And yeah, enjoy. So back to the Stack Pack. Bye. Okay, let's get into some weird now, guys. We're going to talk about aliens over the Hudson Valley. Aliens over the Hudson Valley from 1983 to 1986.
1989.
Oh, sorry. That's exactly what my notes say, but I was looking at it from kind of far. yeah, so Hudson Valley, well-educated. So, I mean, I don't know. When we talk about these UFO cases, it's kind of like a – how do you tell the story? Like, it's just people telling, it's just talking heads of people saying their experiences. So, I mean, let's just run down the list. First, we meet the family man, Dennis Sant, right? Dennis Sant.
Yep.
Had a bunch of kids. He's standing out there with his son who's like, what's that?
and yeah, by the way, he was the highest ranking deputy of Putnam County.
Yeah. But it was weird because it said that he was like, oh, yeah, Dennis was in local government, but he was also a cop? Well, yeah, I guess. Local government's just like a part-time.
I guess. They did talk about how the Hudson River Valley is, like you said, affluent. It's I like the word that Stack used was cosmopolitan.
Oh, yeah, he said that it was, yeah, nice cosmopolitan retirees. Yeah, well-educated, too. Like, okay, Stack, we get it. I don't know.
I think he's just trying to give credibility. He's just saying that these guys went to college and they're not stupid backwoods hillbillies.
It's that like normal UFO thing. Like, I swear to God, these people are like respectable, normal humans. They're not, you know, they're not full of shit. Okay. We get it. We get it. What's funny is like they debunked a lot of these sightings, because of, planes that would fly in, tight formations. And apparently it was a hoax, like some, fighter pilots were doing this on purpose, but the story is not quite that simple, is it?
No, not at all.
So Dennis Sant, like we said, the local deputy, he's standing out there with his son and he sees this huge, like 2 football field long. How does he describe it? Dark gray, metallic looking thing with a bunch of lights, and his son was like mesmerized. Just like he was, and his daughters were out there and they kind of like weren't vibing it and they like freaked out and they went inside. And he said that him and his son were like drawn under the craft and they kind of followed it to the end of the backyard. And he said at first he had this like calming, good feeling about having an encounter with an alien or like seeing this ship and having this encounter. And then he immediately had like a dreadful, terrifying feeling about
just
it.
Just the heebie jeebies.
Yeah. He
man,
got the
what you call ma that.
Fucking heebie jeebies. which is yeah, it's yeah. It's okay.
That as a matter of fact, that would have been really funny if he had said that. I got heebie-jeebies like a motherfucker.
Like a motherfucker. Yeah. He had yeah. What was like pure like amazement and wonder turned to immediate fright as another way of explaining it. And then the scary ass thoughts started racing through his head like they're going to land and fucking pulverize us or murder us. And, you know, who knows what he was just explaining that it was nothing good.
Probe me.
It was like,
I'm going to get raped by aliens
or the Mars Attacks route where they're like, they come out and everyone's like, oh, they're kind of cute. And then they just start fucking blasting everybody. That's what I was picturing.
Yeah.
Him and his son watched this thing for about 20 minutes. And then a couple miles away, traffic was literally stopped in the road because everybody was looking at it. So March 24th, which was about a week after, this cop named Andy Sadoff. Andy.
Who looks like Janice from Friends.
Oh, that's okay. You sent me the picture, and I was like, I couldn't quite. The one with the loud voice. The one. I'm not a Friends fan.
Yeah, and then Chandler said he was moving to Yemen to get away from her.
Friends, the TV show.
Oh no, we're Seinfeld all the way. Yeah, but yeah. No, she did remind me of fucking Janice from.
I was thinking on a more like style level. I was like, girl, you have way too good of a tan to have that like pink lipstick. Like it looked so weird.
She didn't look like a cop at all. I did not get that cop vibe.
No, she didn't. But when she started talking,
but apparently she was a police. She was a 10-year veteran. She was a 10-year police veteran.
When she started talking, though, yeah, she sounded like I got the cop vibes for sure. So she was just on a normal patrol. She was set up trying to catch speeders. She said she saw what she thought were planes, like coming over a tree, but then she noticed how large the mass was. And then she,
that's what she said.
And she says the lights were alternating green and white color. Like, so green and white, no sound, which is the thing that everybody says, which is the creepiest thing. Cause everyone thought it was a bunch of, planes, you know, in close quarters, like fighter jets or whatever. And that shit would be loud as fuck. And she said it was just hovering over her, super huge. And then she hears a report on the radio that like, oh, we're seeing something. And then she's like, unit 5 to base. I see it too. It's hovering over my car. And then she's like, I'm going to follow it. And she explains that she didn't have time to get scared. I would be fucking terrified. She's got balls, but I guess it's just the adrenaline. Like she said, she's like frightened. No. It's weird, like usually in Unsolved Mysteries, you can never catch the questions that the people are asking, you know, because they do a pretty good job. But there's this one part where she's just like, frightened? No, I wasn't. So Ed Burns, he's another guy who saw some shit, and he said it was a flying city. And we know he's trustworthy because he worked for IBM. I don't know.
Senior manager, retired.
Yeah. So he said he explained it as a flying city. Couldn't think of anything else to explain it as. He said he was driving outside of town and his radio started getting all shitty right before he saw it. And then he sees it and he said it was one solid piece of a chevron shape. And again, no noise. So he said, he says it was one solid piece. This is where we get the alternating opinions of people. Some people think that it was definitely like a cluster of planes and stuff, that it wasn't one full thing with lights on it. So he actually joined a group of drivers, people that were just like, what the fuck? And he said that he was like talking to this guy next to him and the man wouldn't answer. He's like, look how huge. This is incredible. That's crazy. Whoa, look at that. And the guy just didn't say any words, but the reenactment is so bad.
And then
bad.
He grabbed him by the shoulders and shook him and was like, why won't you fucking answer me?
What is going on? I would have thought like the aliens hypnotized them and I'm the only one that's immune to their hypnotizing. And this guy just got hypnotized. Yeah. But the reenactment was so funny. It was like, he just like asked like 5 questions completely in a row. Didn't give him a chance to answer. This is the most interesting sighting for me because there's these 2 cops. One runs up in the reenactment. He's like, oh, the whole town's going crazy. And then they both see this fly right over the police station. And one cop says that it was one full object with a bunch of lights. And the other cop said that it was definitely like clusters of lights and that there wasn't a full object. Like it was small objects. But he doesn't want to say it's a UFO or a plane. He's like, I'd like to see it again because I don't know. I don't know what I saw. Everyone was calling in. Like, everyone was calling in. These are the cool UFO sightings to me when it's, like, a whole fucking town. Like, when we talked about, what was it, like, in Norway or Holland or Denmark or something?
Or how about the one in Florida where they created a whole music video for it?
Yeah.
UFO.
That's a good one.
UFO.
These 2 cops.
I never saw that. Did I?
Yeah. The Gulf Breeze UFO, remember?
Oh, yeah, the UFO. Gulf Breeze one. Yeah, I remember now.
UFO. It's a Gulf Breeze UFO. I remember. It's a Gulf Breeze UFO. I don't know. I might be adding on to it now. I know I'm not totally making
off.
It any.
Totally off.
Yeah. I know I'm not making it any worse.
You might be even doing it justice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pretty bad. So, yeah, these 2 cops standing right next to each other see different things. That's pretty cool. So some people are seeing a circular object. Some people are seeing a boomerang shaped object. Maybe that means that there's two different crafts they're seeing, or maybe one is planes and one's UFOs. I think that's more likely.
It's the Flying V, the Mighty Ducks UFO.
So let's talk about Anthony Capaldi. He's the air traffic controller who noticed what the groups of planes looked like. And he says he's got a pretty interesting observation, I think, because he's like he noticed the formation, and he said that it's a really tight formation, and it was maybe two football fields wide, so that checks out. And he says it's possible that it could look like a UFO, but it'd be really hard to make that mistake because it's so loud, you know? Especially 1,000 feet.
That's crazy.
Up. Yeah. Like, dude, that, you know how loud planes are, especially, planes like that.
Yeah.
So, and people that saw the planes in the weeks to come, they could tell the difference. And the hoax part of it is interesting too, because one of the guys even says, he's like, yeah, the UFOs were here before the hoax started though. Like, these guys went out in their planes and they thought it was funny or whatever. But, the hoax was them trying to make people think they were UFOs. Even Stack says when they asked the people that apparently did the hoax to do it again, they said they couldn't. They're like, we're not going to tell you our names because we were flying way too close together when we were doing that stupid shit.
Yeah. And it was like violating FAA regulations.
Yeah. So they didn't even attempt it again. So yeah, I don't know. I think the hoax was like in response to people of seeing shit up in the sky. They're like, hey, that'd be funny. You know, that's kind of what I think.
And then they made it. Yeah, I could see that. Like, it put the idea in their head. It put the idea in their head, like, oh, yeah, maybe we should continue these and maybe make people think that, you know, there's more sightings. And
the way the first dude explains it, he says, like, metallic and gritter? Like industrial gray material is the way he explains it, you know, with lights. And that's sort of what it looks like, but I think he explains it better. But it's definitely a physical object, so I don't know. I think there's lots of things over the skies. And
you guys ready to have your minds blown?
In New York.
Did you say blown?
Yeah. So those UFO sightings were test flights of the B-2 bomber.
Really?
No, I don't buy it. It's way too loud. There's no way.
It can coast. They have a glide feature for when they go into stealth mode.
I'm just fucking with you. Yeah, but it would still be going so fast. I mean,
just fucking with you.
It's a good theory, but it's like
actually
aliens are
ready,
real now.
You're ready for your mind to be really blown.
Did you say blown?
Yeah,
say blown again.
Blown. John Lennon talked about this shit.
No. Yeah,
John Lennon. There is a video on YouTube of John Lennon recounting his experience of seeing a UFO in the Hudson River Valley.
Are you serious about that?
Is there really? Serious. There is a Reddit that is specifically dedicated to Hudson River Valley UFO sightings.
And John Lennon
all I know is the government said that the UFOs are real, so.
They didn't say the UFOs were real. They showed a video and they said, we don't know what this thing is.
Well, I mean, technically they are saying UFOs are real, which is true because it's unidentified and it's a flying object.
They said one unidentified flying object is, they can't explain.
which is true. Like that is it's fact. True. They don't know what it is.
There's something that was there. That's what they're saying. I don't think they're like, yep, aliens are here, motherfuckers. Put on your tinfoil hats.
I disagree.
So the last thing I want to talk about in this little segment is the two videotapes. Videotape. I don't always say it like that.
The VHS tapes.
The two videotapes. We see one where the guy thinks it's a UFO and it looks very circular. And then the other where it's actually for sure 100% planes because he says it can hear them.
Hey, I made this on the Sega CD.
Yeah, and he's saying he can hear it. And it's I think those are interesting. The circular ones are weird. But And they say a lot of people looked at it and authenticated it and, you know, they said they couldn't explain it. But also, it's a fucking grainy-ass tape. How come we don't see anybody on their iPhone 11 Pluses filming UFOs?
Right? That's what I wonder, too.
Or porn. What the fuck? Come on, guys. Put some quality. Put some lighting in there. Jesus.
Yeah, let's see some amateur 4K iPhone porn.
I want to see some good scripts.
Yeah.
Oh. Over here, up there, I saw a UFO, and it went down the river, turned right at the United Nations, turned left, and then down the river. It wasn't a helicopter. It wasn't a balloon, and it was so near.
And it looked what, sort of round, just, white, just luminescent, like, and silent.
Silent, and it looked dark, like black or gray in the middle, and had white lights, just looked like light bulbs, you know? Just going off, on, off, on, off, on, blink, 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 round the bottom, and on top was a red light.
Damn, that's awesome. And that was over the Hudson River Valley? I mean, I know he lived in fucking New York, but how do we know where that video was taken?
According,
there's American reporter. You can tell the reporters are American, huh?
Yeah. So that came off of
a Reddit. On YouTube. It's called John Lennon, I Saw a UFO. That's the, fun. That's
the
fun.
The user deleted is no longer on the forum, but Reddit. It says, this is wild. This is John Lennon's experience watching a brightly lit UFO go down the Hudson in the early 1970s.
Early 1970s, too. Damn. I was like 10 years before these sightings started. That's really, really neat. That's a cool find, Dan. I like that. Anything more to add about these UFOs? We do love UFOs. No. That's super cool. That John Lennon saw a UFO in the same area.
John Lennon. I swear I saw it on the Hudson. I saw it on the Hudson. I swear.
Yeah. It was right there. It was right there. I don't know why I'm getting an Australian accent. Saw it.
Yeah, you sound super Australian. I jumped down to Australia, eh? I've got some dingoes and some.
It crossed and went to the United Nations. Yeah, that's super some funny. He's like laughing about it. He's like, yeah, it's just silent, circular, fucking weird. I'm John Lennon. No one's going to believe me, but that's what I saw. So the next case is fucking weird.
Poor man's Indiana Jones over here. Can't even hijack a plane right.
You think he was trying to hijack it? I think he just was trying to fucking bum a ride.
I think he was just trying to go home. I don't know what he was trying to do.
So this story's fucking wild. Before we start, did anybody do any like further reading on this?
I'm about to.
Okay, cool. I'll tell the story and maybe I'll cut this out. So, cause I don't know. I just know this. All right. So this, yeah, weird as shit. September 30th of 1991, Paducah County,
Paducah, Kentucky.
So after 6 p.m. on a small airfield, this guy walks up to an employee at the airfield. His name was Wes Weaver. He's a clean cut, kid. Seems like a nice guy. He said that this dude was acting desperate. He didn't seem like he was fucked up on drugs or drunk or anything. He just seemed
words. I didn't think he was fucked up.
I Davidized that a little bit, but he did seem fucking scared, and he needed like a ride on a plane. He needed to get out of Dodge, is what it seemed like. I think he even says that in the reenactment. I got to get out of Dodge. He even like said, "Hey, I got this jacket. You want to trade this jacket? Come on, man, come on!" And like he's like, "No, I can't. You can't just wander up to a private airfield and ask for a fucking plane ride to anywhere. What are you talking about?" He didn't say that, but I'm saying that. He eventually convinced the guy to leave. And yeah, so 30 minutes later, he's driving outside of the airfield, Wes, when he sees this guy, same jacket. He recognizes jacket right away. So he slows down a little bit and he sees this guy run and vault over. Did you see that in the reenactment? Yeah. This guy runs and vaults over the gate and just starts running in the airfield. And it's got a barbed wire. It's barbed wire on there, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what they put around the airfields. They want to keep people out.
Yeah, it's
expensive. Can't just be running up on planes.
So this guy proceeded to run up on a plane, vaulted over the gate, ran 800 feet The investigators are talking about how impressive this is when they figured out. They never see him jump onto the fucking wing of the plane, but that's what he must have done.
Dude, the balls on this guy.
Dude, I know. What the fuck was he getting away from?
Dude, okay. First of all, does he know where this plane is going?
No, I don't think so. We do, because they tell us.
This guy's plan was just to hop over a fence and hold on for dear life.
So he was on his way
on an airplane.
So the plane was on his way to Memphis. So this guy immediately radios security when he sees him running. And a couple were at their house. The only other two people to see this guy was this couple. And they're very, 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 very white trash. I can say it. I'm white. It's fine. They were very, maybe not trash. They were super little hick-ish. Is that offensive to whatever?
I don't know. Who cares?
So a little bit of a redneck vibey couple were the only other witnesses. They said they were standing in the yard. She said she saw the guy run up to the side of the plane. But like I said, no one saw him actually get on it. And then they didn't see him again. It was commuter flight 2940 going to Memphis. It was cleared for takeoff. The lady sees it go into the air, and then she just sees something fucking drop from this motherfucking plane. And she runs over, and she turns over to tell Papa, because that's what she calls her kid's dad. Papa, I think something fell from that plane. So a search party commences. They're trying to find this guy. And once they come up upon a section of fence that is imploded, and they see a dead-ass body at the bottom of the fence, they found their dude.
This guy was real, real dead.
Case solved.
Dude, he was quite, quite dead. This seems avoidable. Anyway, so he didn't have any ID. His blood test came back negative for drugs and alcohol. Our second person on this episode to not be on drugs and alcohol. Dude, what a waste.
I'm about to blow your mind. I'm about to blow your mind. This is actually more connected to the first one than you think.
Oh, shit. And apparently he was a fucking babe.
Oh, he was a babe.
He was tanned. Oh, dude, this medical examiner loves talking about pubes.
Dude, he loves it.
He loves talking about pubes. Anyway, he says the guy was tanned, but no tan line. And he was buff, and he had a swimmer's cut. His pubes were in not his head. His pubes were a swimmer's cut. I need to know what this looks like. But he just said that it was like he was groomed. Guys, he was groomed to where he would be shaven under tiny underwears.
If you're a swimmer and you listen to us and your pubes are trimmed, send us pics.
Yeah.
Because David wants to see.
I want to see. Show me how you trim them swimmy pubes. Let's do it. What I'm assuming.
Come on. We'll repost them on our story.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a good fighter and like he's just aerodynamic when he fights. Yeah. He's supposed to make sure there's no.
And do we ever get confirmation? Like the pube guy.
Yes.
The pube guy says that he was a Chippendale something like it.
No, he was not. Which is the worst. Like, why would you automatically go to that?
He's like, there was a Chippendale style like dance group of buff men in town. So we,
he's gotta be a part of that.
He's gotta, yeah. Did you see these pubes though? They're like, you're the only one who's going with that Chippendale angle, buddy. You've said pubes 17 times in the past 3 minutes.
No, I haven't.
He might've just gotten, maybe he was just a good looking dude and had a lot of attention and women saw his hog.
Well, we're going to go for a different angle there. But the pubes.
I mean, what was life like in 92? I mean, I would imagine dudes were still trying to bang women. Like,
right? Like, was it so different? Like, were some people groomed men. And some
it
people?
It could have been men.
Yeah.
It could have been that he liked men and he was just trying to like.
Was it so different than it is now? Some people are more groomed than others? What? What is this? He must have been a performer.
Am I a Chippendales dancer because I use a number 2 clippers on my pubic region? No, absolutely not. I do it because I want it to look aesthetically pleasing for my wife.
Yeah.
I don't do it for any
of
You know, Chippendales dancer.
If they found you dead and you did a little bit of manscaping, they're like, oh my goodness, he was a porn star.
This man was a stripper.
No. Oh, he plucked his eyebrows. He's got to be a homosexual.
Oh, I can tell. This guy has designer clothes. Anyway, so he was a tanned babe with pubes. Yeah. There was a Chippendales type group. Yeah. Sorry, one of my notes literally says he loves talking about pubes. So the name inscribed on his jacket belonged to Lieutenant L.F. Price. And it also said ASAF on his jacket, which is what, Air Force?
Yes.
And they couldn't find this person, which is weird. And like we mentioned earlier, these guys are just impressed. All the investigators, they're like, 2 minutes to jump a gate, run 800 feet, jump on a plane. And also, seconds after it started going, that ship on the ground was going 120 miles an hour. And then it pumped up to 190 by the time they got into the air. And he thinks that, and they estimate that he got, that they got up to between 3,000 and 3,500 feet before he dropped.
Jesus. Ugh, what a way to go, man. What
the fuck was this guy running from? I mean, the only update Unsolved Mysteries tells us is they were able to find out his name, 28-year-old Brian Duker.
And I'll tell you what, man, that trimmed pubic hair did not help him be more aerodynamic in the air. I'll tell you that.
Or maybe, did it?
I mean, he could have.
I mean, he fell pretty quickly.
Yeah,
he could have. Yeah, maybe. Anyways, I do have an update on this. A little bit more than what we were given in the episode.
Nice.
So in 1997, a woman named Dee Dwecker.
Dwecker?
She watched a repeat broadcast and believed the man was her son. He was a 28-year-old marathon runner, and he was last seen 4 days before the incident, right? So September 26th. When his sister visited him in Cincinnati, she was getting a vibe of, like, this guy's acting really weird. So he was, like, cleaning his apartment. He was, like, acting very, like, not himself. And she used the words preoccupied. She's like, he was very preoccupied. And that she felt that he was acting strange. So she left the apartment. Well, the next day, the dad, I guess she called the dad and was like, hey, you know, Brian's not acting himself. Go check him out. The dad went to go look at the apartment, but he was gone and he left a note. And the note mentioned that he was going west. He was like, I need to go mountain climbing. I just gotta go. So that was it. That was the last they saw of him. They never saw him again. The family reported him missing soon after, and they actually thought that the guy that fell was him. And the police were like, no. The investigators were like, no, it's not him. It doesn't match the description, is what they said.
He wasn't a Chippendales dancer, was he? No, it's not him. Fucking idiot.
But dude, he was a marathon runner.
Couldn't be. This guy's a Chippendale.
This guy ran 800 feet in like under 2 minutes.
Nope, marathon. No. Hey, a marathon runner couldn't do that. A Chippendale could.
I mean, I think they both probably.
So could. This was like right away, dude. This all happened that same year, and they were like dismissing it. They were like, "No, it's not him." Yeah. So, anyways,
they wouldn't even like test it.
They said that it just didn't. He didn't match the description, is what they said. So she was like super convinced that it was Brian. So after an article, from the Paducah Sun about him, she contacted the writer of from Paducah and forwarded a photograph of Brian to investigators. And finally, in June of 1999, fingerprints confirmed that it was him. Dude, it took 8 years for this to come down.
That's fucking insane. Like,
they could have solved it right away. But okay. So remember,
I'm sure they had his DNA on file maybe not back then, or like fingerprints on file to, like, you know, because he's a John Doe at that point.
Dude, right? Well, they used to dig up all the bodies. Why not just dig them up?
Just dig them up.
So there's no like other reason why he would do that.
Okay, yes. Sorry. No. Okay. So check this out. Remember I mentioned to you that this actually ties into the first one more than we thought. He was diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenic.
Oh shit.
Fuck. Yeah.
So is this just like a crazy elaborate suicide?
No, it wasn't a planned suicide. No,
he was wanting to go to the mountains. He was just wanting to get out of town, and he's like, I gotta go.
He was having a schizophrenic episode where he was under the delusion that someone was after him, and he had to do anything possible to get out of town. So
check this out. He was diagnosed at 22 a paranoid schizophrenic, and the the incident happened and he was 28. So 6 years of him dealing with this. And he had also had difficulty separating his imagination from reality is what they said.
And often believed that someone was following him.
Oh, really?
So they believed that his mental issues explained why he acted so strange and jumped on the plane.
That's so fucking weird and scary and freaky, like what your own mind can make you think. It reminds me of that story about the guy who just walked into the woods in Arizona. Fuck, dude.
Dude. Chippendales dancer, he was not. But he was a marathon runner, which explains why he was able to jump
and run and so scale
the and run so fast. Yeah. Brian Duecker.
Damn.
Seeing that he was able to run and jump onto a plane that was doing, how fast was it at takeoff? 100 and what?
Well, I mean, by the time it left the ground, it was going to 120, I think is what they said. And then by the time it was at 3,000 feet where they think he jumped, it was going about 190. So he
this
probably
guy could have ran 120 miles an hour for a brief second. So, making a joke.
Yeah, I know, but I was trying to like in my head think of like
damn
like how fast would he like actually? He probably was running like I don't know what's the fastest a human can run.
I don't know.
20 miles an hour? I don't know.
We should test.
He was running pretty fucking fast. If he could get it, I mean, it could have been going pretty slow by the time. I mean, I don't know, because the Hick lady says. I mean, we know it happened. Which is crazy, but the Hick lady says that she didn't actually see him get on the wing, but...
Like, how long was he on the wing and before that plane took off? Like, I'm curious.
Yeah, and I want to know that fucking... I have so many questions about the pilot.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
right.
Did he know that there was a... The pilot had to see something?
Did he know there was a guy? Or felt something? Yeah, it's a small plane. I'm pretty sure the weight...
There's something on the wing!
Yeah, it's like a Twilight Zone episode.
They would have noticed it on takeoff, like because, you know, that wing would have been not had the same aerodynamics as the other wing, so they would have had to correct for some type of pitch or a roll. So he had to know something was up.
Maybe – so you think maybe he was correcting himself, but, like, he didn't actually know that there was something on the wing?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like that extra weight on the wing would have caused the plane to want to tip that way or would affect the aerodynamics.
Maybe. This plane feels off. This plane feels off a little bit. I'm going to roll the other way. Brian falls off. Oh, that's better.
Well, they said, I think everything happened in the span of like a minute or two. So like, shit. And maybe just as soon as they got airborne and the wings started floating, it was just like, though the wings started tilting, they were already that fucking high. I mean, I guess at any height really going that fast, he would have been fucked. So, I mean.
Dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Crazy.
But yeah, isn't
that just mental illness? So just another example of people decades ago not taking mental illness seriously. And
don't know that for certain. Like this guy could have been on medication and just stopped taking his medication.
That's true. He was living. I feel like he probably shouldn't have been living by himself.
I don't know though. I don't know if there was a lot of antidepressants back then or any type of
something to like balance your.
Right? Yeah, but was there? I mean, when did they start figuring out that, hey, people have a chemical imbalance in their brain. Like they probably need some serotonin. And
I just listened to a two-parter of last podcast on the left, all about the history of lobotomies and stuff.
Dude, isn't that sad?
It's crazy, dude. It's like,
dude, they used to just lobotomize you.
A woman's having emotional problems or something. Like a pregnant lady who's depressed because,
all
these things where there's this, like, there's actual medical terms for now. And it's just like, oh yeah, they would just like nick the brain with a fucking human brain nail. It's fucking wild.
Yeah, you had a baby and you were like going through postpartum. They were like, oh, you're just not right.
We'll just stick you in a mental ward and nick your brain and
take your baby.
Yeah. Fuck. She's not as annoying anymore. I mean, she doesn't do much, but she sure doesn't nag all day. I mean, she doesn't do anything all day, but yeah, it's crazy. You know, they're not completely illegal. You can still get a lobotomy.
Can I? Sometimes I want one.
Would you rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy? I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. I think
that's a good joke.
That's a quote from some old-timey guy. Howard Hughes. I don't know. anyway, so, yeah, thanks for hanging out, guys. Stack Pack, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We love you. If you're listening on Apple, give us a review on Apple. It means a lot. It actually helps a lot.
Oh, good. We love reading your reviews. Yeah, but really, we do.
But it really, more people get to hear the show if there's more reviews. And also, you can donate money at anchor.fm/thestackpack.
Yeah, if you like what we do, tell your friends.
Yeah, tell everybody that you think would be interested. This is a really good start to season 5, and we'll see you next time. Like, I'm sure you've already heard enough from us. July 1st, new Unsolved Mysteries. Whoop. We'll get at you next time. Have a nice night, guys. For every mystery, there's someone somewhere who knows the truth. Perhaps that someone is listening, and perhaps that someone is you. Good night.